Blog Talk Radio.
You know what that song is, don't you? I know you recognize that beat there. The burger spot. They're going to be here for a while, fellas. We got the Chargers this week. We got the Rams next week. So the Dolphins are taking home in the Pacific Ocean this week. How do you think? What do you think about them Dolphins going for their fourth win in a row?
I must say it was an impressive victory. They were bailed out against the Jets by an incredible special teams play to take the lead in that game. The running game has been spectacular. Tannehill hasn't made too many mistakes. They're fairly adept against the run, so you know I'm pleasantly surprised at what they've been able to do. I guess they're out of the Leonard Fournette sweepstakes, and you know, not quite in the playoffs just yet, but you know, probably picking somewhere in the mid-teens.
Well, I mean, you're looking way out in the future. Right now, we're on a three-game winning streak, so we're looking for a fourth game winning streak. The fourth game will put us over 500, and has us eyeing a wild card berth in the AFC playoffs, which, as you know, is a tough division to play in. There was a game on Monday night in the Pacific Northwest, where we saw the Seahawks, who usually have, you know, an ex-player, local star, come out and raise the 12th flag. Well, I think they should have just had the refs raise the 12th flag on Monday night, because it looked like the Seahawks and the refs had a pretty unique partnership on Monday. What do you think about that victory that the Seahawks got gifted a W by the refs? What do you think about that?
It was no gift, Cam. They played for 60 minutes. They won the football game. I know there was a little bit of a controversy because some little pipsqueak little kicker got ran into inadvertently and screamed, "Oh, you know, bloody murder!" as if he had just got his leg taken off. That's not something that is, you know, a collusion between the Seahawks and the refs. I mean, you know, these things happen. It was offside. They called it. You know, Mr. Sherman hit the ball, got a little bit of a kicker in the meanwhile, and, you know, next thing you know, this guy's wife was talking about, you know, castrating animals out here. You know, it's insane, you know. There's nothing going on between the Seahawks and the refs, for crying out loud. The Seahawks had 11 penalties last week, ridiculous pass interference calls. Nobody said anything about that. All of a sudden, you know, this guy gets run into, and everybody's calling, you know, Mr. Sherman a dirty player. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, you led right into it. You walked right into it. Is Richard Sherman a dirty player? I mean, we've seen him kind of get close to the line in a few situations in the past, and, you know, he wants to – everybody in the Northwest seems to lean on that Stanford education, and he's smart, and he must have a motive, but can the motive just be plain dirty?
Oh, no, he's physical. I mean, he's 6'3", 225. I mean, he's a big guy. But, you know, if he wanted to hurt Dan Carpenter, he would have hurt Dan Carpenter. I mean, let's be real. He ran off the edge. He was trying to block a field goal. I mean, if he really just wanted to just take a free running shot at him, why didn't he do that?
Well, he has to do it within the course of playing the football, within the confines of the rules somewhat. And so you just call him playing physical, huh? That's how you call him.
He's a physical player, yes. Yes, he plays cornerback with a physical chip on his shoulder.
Wow, that's pretty complimentary, I tell you that. A pretty complimentary description of his style. Nonetheless, the Seahawks eked out a victory against the Buffalo Bills. So it had those questions to bear. The Vikings. Yeah, I'm going to give you a moment to talk about the Vikings and their three-game swoon here because I know you'll enjoy it.
Well, you know, the Vikings, you know, they say came out the gate. They looked really good, looked really flashy. Great chemistry between Bradford and Stephon Diggs. And then, you know, as the season has progressed, there's more film on these guys. There's been a little bit of attrition on the offensive line. Sam Bradford isn't getting that same kind of time. That running game that they thought they could patch together without Adrian Peterson has not been working all of a sudden. That defense that was, you know, reminiscent of the Purple People Eaters, they're starting to give up a few points now. That field goal kicker, if it was me, I probably would have found another kicker for him to go on. So, yeah, I mean, from that perspective, they're not who we thought that they're who I thought they were, but they're coming back down to earth as far as what the rest of the league is thinking.
They are who you thought they were, huh?
They are who I thought they were, correct, yes.
Let me say this. The kid in Philadelphia, he's experiencing this a little bit here right now. And once you spend 3 or 4 weeks with the team and you have some success, the other coaches in the league that are getting paid from embarrassing them week after week are doing their homework, taking some notes, jotting some stuff down, saving it for game day. I think Sam Bradford and the receivers that you mentioned, he's looking for a go-to guy. We thought we had one of Stephon Diggs, who's now getting double-teamed, and you know you can stop him on the line of scrimmage by just getting your hands on him because he's a kind of slight of build. The running game, as you know, is not there. There's no comparison to Adrian Peterson. And so the other coaches have kind of pulled the book out on Sam Bradford and making it kind of tough for him to get some points. And as the defense gives up a few more points, then you're expecting Bradford to score that many more points, or they're not getting it done. So we'll see how they get it turned around this week. I do have them winning this week. We'll see how they get it turned around. But, yes, it's been a three-game slide. They're still at they're still knocking on the door for the top of the division, and most likely with Green Bay doing so poorly. And, speaking of Green Bay, what do you think of the bad man Aaron Rodgers and what he's not getting done? With them underperforming Green Bay, that leaves the door open for the Vikings to still come back and catch them for the division title at the end of the season. But Green Bay, their own swoon and inability to play up to their performance and standards are really leaving the door open for the Vikings. What do you think about Green Bay?
Well, I think that Green Bay has definitely been hurt by a lack of a running game. Ever since, Eddie Lacy's been out of the lineup, they haven't really had a lot of balance, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't been as crisp and concise with his throws as he has been in the past. They still have a multitude of weapons receiver-wise. They still have Jordy, Devontae Adams is coming around. Reggie Cobb is still running around out there. So they did pick up the tight end as well. So, you know, I think that he still has all the weapons around him. It's just they're not playing up, like you said, up to expectation of what, you know, we've come accustomed to.
We get accustomed to them winning. And, you know, dare I say, I don't want to make this an Aaron Rodgers rant, but dare I say that Aaron Rodgers, as good as we proclaimed him to be, if he's unable to perform without a running game, is he really as good as we proclaimed him to be? For food for thought there. What do you think?
Well, there are other quarterbacks out there in the league, most notably one in Indianapolis, that, you know, we seem to give those guys a break when they're underachieving with you know, with injuries and lack of a running game. I think it's still early to jump on A-Rod's back. I think he's proven over his career what he's capable of doing. And I think it's probably just a few tweaks here and there. You know, he gave them an earful, told them they weren't showing any energy. I'm sure that didn't go over very well in the locker room. So we'll see how they come out this next week and how they perform. I think they'll get the victory.
Well, I know how you try to slide that cheap shot in on the quarterback from the Indianapolis Colts. I noticed that. He does not have the talent on the offensive side of the ball, nor the defensive side of the ball, for that matter, that they have in Green Bay. So, and that's not a slight to the quarterback. That's a simple slight to the organization and the leadership and the selection process. Because we know they've had first round picks. They just haven't been making the best picks with their first round picks. Example: Philip Dorsett that they just recently picked up. So I noticed that slight, that jab you took at my man Andrew Luck, who actually went into Green Bay and got the W.
He did. Good for him. It was not a jab. Just an observation. Just an observation.
Okay. All right. And then we had Cam. They were able to get through the Rams, and yet we see them taking some more hits. And what do you think about the hits that Cam taking? Is there any way to avoid this at this point?
You know, I don't really think that there's any way to avoid the hits that he takes, just simply because of the way he plays the game. I also think it would set a bad precedent if they were just constantly looking for calls on hits against him. It would certainly look like favoritism from the league's perspective. There have been some hits over the season, I'm not going to lie, that were extremely unnecessary, excessive, and probably should have been penalized. I didn't see a whole lot of that from this last game. I think that he just takes hits. I mean, he stands in the pocket a little bit longer than most quarterbacks are capable of. He's a little bit bigger, so you got to hit him a little bit harder. I mean, that's just the reality of how he's built and how his game is.
Not sure how unbiased that soliloquy was, but there was some truth to it. He does stand in the pocket a little bit longer. Does standing in the pocket mean that he deserved to get hit harder? I don't think so. And I think by your initial comment, they would make it appear to be favoritism if they started to call more flags in Cam Newton's favor. With that response there, I'd ask you, well, what the hell was the purpose of talking to the commissioner then? If they're not going to call more flags, if they're not going to call the flags that are deserving, was the conference that he and the commissioner was that a waste?
Yeah, I mean, it was the conversation was to air his grievances and to point out to the commissioner that he thinks on several occasions there have been hits to him personally that flags should have been called on, and that he thinks that the referees don't call it the way that they should. Personally, I don't think that that's enough for the NFL to focus on Cam Newton hits to that extent.
Okay.
I mean, certainly he is the MVP of the league. It's a quarterback-driven league, and he is one of their biggest stars, so of course you want to protect him. And I think they do a pretty good job of protecting quarterbacks for the most part, perhaps because he runs a little bit more. I'm not even going to go there and say that because he's more flamboyant and, you know, gives footballs away to little kids that they just decide that he's just free game for anybody to take, you know, cheap shots at him. I don't think that's what's going on. I think they have been a little remiss and a little bit slow on a few of the calls that they should have made, but I don't think the conversation with the commissioner is anything more than, hey, this is how I feel. You take a look. I'm pointing it out. You know, can you, you know, tell me what your thoughts are? I think that's about as much as you can do with that conversation.
Well, I find it interesting that I don't think I would have voted against the conversation if Cam reached out to me just because of the optics of the situation. So Nonetheless, you know, I'm not going to dwell on this terrible week that you had. I will say that I, out of 13 games, I had 8 correct to your 5 correct. I actually had 2 correct against two picks correct against the spread versus your 1 pick against the spread. So that was a 10-6 lead for me. Also,
how'd that confidence go?
I'm sorry?
How'd that confidence picks go?
Confidence picks, we're getting there. We're getting there. You, 13
okay,
or 11.
Sorry. I don't want to myself there.
Yeah. You know, you can pat yourself on the back for that one. You're still behind again. 65% correct on my confidence pick for the season. Last week was 73% to your 86%. So good work out of you there. I had Minnesota winning and 4 points on their confidence to you having Green Bay who actually lost. Week 10 confidence picks. I'm pretty confident Miami, Denver, New England, Dallas, and Green Bay getting a W this week. You have undoubtedly your rival with Phillip Rivers and Kirk Cousins. You're expecting them to get you some confidence picks, I see. You have New England, Arizona, and Baltimore to round out your top, the rest of your points there. This week, what I'm looking forward to this week is to see if, you know, how are my Dolphins going to make it 4 straight wins? And we're taking the league by storm. How are we going to make it 4 straight wins against the Phillip Rivers-led Chargers? How are we going to make this happen? Late game comeback, special teams heroics, how we had won a game last week. Tannehill is going to go out here and throw for 400 yards. Well, what's going to happen? That's what I'm eager to see, how the Dolphins are going to get to their 4th straight W. And then I want to see which playmaker for the Seahawks is going to shine. I know they're few and far between up there, but somebody needs to give little Russell some help. Russell looks like Eric Dickerson back there. He has every pad on possible on his body. I think he wore double knee pads because he's afraid of getting beat down up there. And when they go to New England, I'm rooting for them, but how are they going to perform up there? What are you looking forward to this week?
Well, as you just said, I am definitely looking forward to seeing exactly what the Seahawks can do up there in New England. Doesn't look very good. Odds are against them. The running game is non-existent. However, they have found the best catching tight end in football in a guy named Jimmy Graham. I think you saw both one-handed catches on Monday, if you were watching. Pretty spectacular. My solution is to throw in the ball a little bit more. Try and get a few more of those plays. So, obviously, New England is on fire. You know, TB12 doing his thing. Hasn't thrown an interception, all that good stuff. So, it's a Sunday night game. Nobody expects the Seahawks to win. The defense has been on the field 2-1 to the offense the last 3 games. So, they're probably a little bit fatigued. And, you know, everyone thinks it's just going to be a blowout. But, you know, let's just play it just for the sake of it, just for the sake of argument and see what happens.
Well, you know, by looking at your pick list here, I see you don't give them a chance to win yourself.
First of all, I did take the Seahawks on the points. Okay? Take the points. Secondly,
okay.
I was just trying to show a little bit of professionalism. I know I've been you know, referred to as a homer by quite a few people, so I figured, okay, well, number one, it's a little bit of reverse psychology. Number two, if I just took the Seahawks over, you know, the team that's supposed to be the quote-unquote unbeatable team in the league, well, then I would look like a homer. So I twisted it around a little bit. I went with the numbers. I went with the percentages.
Okay. All right. So the Seahawks plus the 7.5, I can understand that. You know, I'd say if you had that much confidence in them, go ahead and pick them straight up, and then I'll put them in your confidence picks. Either way, I don't see the Seahawks in your confidence picks either. You know, that's if you were that confident in them to begin with. Other games that we disagree on, well, we disagree on the Miami and San Diego game. I have Denver.
Yeah, that's
going to
be a Philip Rivers special. Sorry about that.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah. Philip Rivers, he won last week, so he should get blown out this week. That's the Philip Rivers special I'm familiar with. I have Denver over New Orleans. I'm guessing you're thinking New Orleans is going to put up too many points for Denver. I'm not sure if that's your logic there. I also have Atlanta going to Philadelphia and knocking the Eagles back under 500. So we'll see how that works out. I do have Minnesota going to I'm just noticing all these are road games that I'm taking. I have Minnesota going to Washington to get off the snide there to go to 6-3 versus the Redskins and still be under 500 with another loss. And then I also have the Cowboys going to Pittsburgh and getting a W. So although you have the home team, in each one of those dealers. Looks like the Steelers, the Skins,
the Steelers,
Philadelphia,
Skins,
and
the Eagles. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got the home team, huh?
Well, first of all, we're gonna find out what Atlanta's made of. They throw the ball around a lot. They're kind of high on themselves right now. They feel like they got cheated in Seattle.
Come on, they did. I mean, we didn't have to even go to another season. We can stay in the same month and see that there's cheating going on in Seattle. We can see that clear as day. But the Atlanta, I'd argue beating the Eagles, is that really a test to tell us who the Falcons are?
Yeah, because if they beat them, then they remain one of the NFC elite teams. If they don't, then they fall back into that pack, the 6-4s, what have you. And, they may or may not win their division. They keep messing around. Carolina's going to get hot. The Saints are hanging around. They just put 40 points on everybody and, see what you can do. I mean, they have the destiny in their hands right now. And a loss like this, critical. But it's going to happen.
Well, it would be a bad loss. It would be a bad loss. I expect, and I think 98% of football prognosticators would expect Atlanta to win this game. There's only a few of those like yourself who would really think the Eagles have a chance to win. But I just don't think at the end of the day, win or lose, it tells us a whole lot about the Eagles. It tells us a whole lot about the Falcons. They've been on a little roll for here recently. Matt Ryan's playing some outstanding football. In a loss here, it's kind of that mid-season loss. That does it kill you? No. This win doesn't put you over the top. But I guess I can see what you're saying by becoming a 6-4, just kind of middle of the road team, but they're better than middle of the road, and we know that. That's why I anticipate them to win the game.
And with regards to that Dallas going to Pittsburgh, this is, again, same situation, same scenario. Maybe they brought back Big Ben a little bit too early last week. He didn't look well. He didn't look good. They dropped a very winnable game there. So this isn't, again, a must-have. I look for Le'Veon Bell to have a big one. I look for Antonio Brown to do quite a few things. And, Dak Prescott on the road. We'll see what he do.
Well, the kid's been 7 straight. So I think I might as well just, to make it easy, I'll roll with Dak. He's just playing a nice he's a game manager. And he's just managing the game, using the good running game that he has behind him. Him and the Dez Bryant should hopefully link up a little bit better. We know Pittsburgh Steelers, their defense, their cornerbacks aren't great, so Dez should be able to get more than 2 catches this week. As that offense comes together, I think you'll find that Dak is a game manager and just manage the game. That's all you have to do. Run around for a couple first downs here and there, make the good throws, the crisp passes. He should look real familiar to you, Dak Prescott.
Okay. No, I see where you're going with that. He somewhat has followed the Russell Wilson blueprint to a certain extent. However, he has a guy looking over his shoulder. His name is Tony Romo. So after this loss, what we'll be talking about next week is whether or not Tony Romo is going to start the following game. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Well, that'd be Romo needs to find a comfortable spot or a comfortable hat, some comfortable standing shoes, because he needs to I'm going to give Romo the pin that kind of has a doily that wraps around your wrist so you don't drop the pin. That's what we need for Romo. He doesn't need to pick up a football. He doesn't need to pick up a football for the rest of this year, unless, of course, Dak gets hurt. Then, obviously, all bets are off. But how could you take the kid out? I mean, I don't know how you could logically take the kid out. Let's find Romo some good standing shoes, a pin that wraps around his wrist so he doesn't drop it when the crowd comes running by, and let him look good over there, collect his, $17 million this year on a check. Because there's no way he should be playing. Do you think he should be playing?
I don't think he should be playing, but I think that the mere fact that they're not giving the reins to Dak Prescott and are kind of somewhat almost looking for an excuse to throw Tony Romo back in there is a problem. I mean, we've seen in years past when the hot hand comes in, they just ride him through. You know, we saw Randall Cunningham come through when Brad Johnson got hurt, 15-1. It was not any of this, as soon as he's ready to go, he's going to be the starter again. It's like, no, why would you even think about disrupting chemistry like that? And the mere fact that they were talking about it and starting to give him way too many reps in practice, that's a problem.
I'd be willing to say that the brass and the Cowboys brass are smarter than to let Tony Romo come take the place of Dak Prescott. Now, if Dak goes out here and puts up a 33 to 10 game, then there might be some question as to who you go with. But if they lose and they lose in a 21-28 fashion, if he's put up some points and the defense gives up a couple of big plays that has the Steelers winning the game, that's nothing on Dak. I mean, again, he's a game manager. He manages the running games, the best offensive line in the league, the most aggressive running game in the league. And he just utilizes the receivers he's got. He's proven he can do it. He's been doing it to this point, 7 straight games. Again, the only way I even consider taking him out is if there was a 33-3 blowout and he just looked like a complete rookie. But this is the Steelers. This isn't your grandfather's Steelers. This is your uncle's Steelers, who gives up a lot of points and requires and relies on Big Ben to score. So I don't see that happen. But it'll be a pretty good game, as will the Seahawks and the Patriots, and then the Eagles and the Vikings. Anything else you're looking for this week?
I would have to say the other thing that I'm looking forward to this week is to see if Arizona can win their game, because if they don't, then the division for the Seahawks looks, I'm not going to say wrapped up, because, you know, we are only in the, you know, there are 6 games left after this week. So it looks very comfortable, however. So if they're serious about trying to, you know, stay within arm's reach, It's kind of almost a must-win game for them. Even though most predictors are saying that the Seahawks will lose this game, so the actual advantage won't increase, they would need to take advantage of that opportunity to do so. If they don't, then they're not really a playoff team.
Well, they're playing the 49ers, and I think Arizona's going to be struggle. I'm taking the 49ers in the 13-point as the pick against the spread. I don't think 49ers are going to win the game, but I don't think Arizona's going to blow them out either. So I'm taking the 49ers in that 13 points. We'll see where Arizona is. As you're right, this is a gauge game for them. They're playing a scrub team. They need to put up 42 points on the board this week to get some comfort and knock the rust off of what we've been seeing out of them for the last couple of weeks. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We got the Dolphins once again going for 4 wins in a row against the lowly San Diego Chargers, and I'm pretty about 5-4 this week. Cleveland, we'll talk to you next week, big guy.
Right on, bro. Looking forward to it.
All right, have a good one. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, fans, for tuning in and being part of the show. Later.
All right, later.